Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness, who we are moving into as a new race of beings, as people waking up to a greater potential. And tonight's two guests are people who've really devoted their lives to that transformation, to that shift in consciousness. They've developed something called Access Consciousness, which is been all over the world, in 49 countries with thousands of practitioners. I'll be talking to Dane here and Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Alan.
Yes, so I met you guys, as I was saying before the show, maybe 12, 15 years ago, and you were developing Access back then. I guess it's, what, about 20 years old now, Gary?
Did you 25, develop? Actually.
25. And then it was really big in New York. I guess that was the 90s. There were lots of people doing that, and then I guess it's still around. But how has it developed over the years since I've seen you guys?
Well, it's like, you know, what happened is that after I started, you know, doing it from the channeling point of view, then I started to, you know, it's like at one point the channeling just stopped. They refused to come in. And when they did, I had to start, you know, finding out what everybody knew that I didn't know that everybody knew.
In other words, it, rather than becoming about, you know, channeling some other being knowing more than you do, it became about, what do you know, and how can you use it to start changing your life? So it became about actually empowering people by asking them questions about what they knew and also getting them to ask questions in their own life to open up their own awareness.
Oh, because when I met you, you came down to my television studio and you were actually still channeling. So you're saying at one point the channeling just dried up?
It just, like, literally they said, bye. You're on your own.
When did that happen?
And that was just really hideous. You know, it's like, because I had so much vested in the idea that I, you know, was going to be a channel and I could be this really cool guy and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I didn't do, you know, it's like, and it was very hard to actually have to give up what I thought was an easy gig and actually go to work.
So the channeling connected you in the beginning to the whole idea of Access and the whole technology, and how long did that last for with you?
It lasted until about 2003,
maybe?
2001. When did 9/11 occur?
2001.
So it was right about, it was just before that they went away.
Uh-huh, I see. But you're already working with Dane. And so, Dane, Gary developed this, and then how did you fit into what he was doing?
Well, what happened was, you know, I was at a place in my life, I had been seeking and searching and thinking I'd found the answer so many times, and, you know, I'd go to a weekend workshop and think, finally I found it, and then by Wednesday I felt like my world was buried again. You know, I went, universe, you got 6 months. Either my life really changes this time or I'm out of here. And literally, I came across Access a week later, had a session, never contemplated killing myself again. And within about 3 months, I had met Gary because his stepdaughter lived in Santa Barbara, where we were living at the time. And she was the one who did the session on me. It's called Bars. And she was the one who did the session on me, and it literally saved my life. And we got together once a week to do these sessions. And after about the third week, I said, hey, who developed this stuff? And she went, oh, my stepdad. I'm like, what? You actually know the guy that developed this amazing thing and it's changing everything in my life? I said, I want to meet him. Well, I asked her every week for 3 months to meet him. And finally, about 3 months later, he called for a session in my office because I was a chiropractor at the time. And I did a session on him. He did a session on me, and it changed my whole world.
And mine.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but changed his too. And so we started working together. We'd get together and we'd just start having these conversations about consciousness. And I would ask him questions, he would ask me questions, and we would come to these greater awarenesses together. And within about 6 months, we started working together. And literally, this conversation that we started 13 years ago is just continuing on. So we're always talking about, hey, what is it that's limiting people? What are the possibilities that are available? And how can we get there with the most ease and the most fun for everybody involved?
Wow, so you guys must have a really sort of karmic connection there, because, you know, you've been so a part of this thing that just came to Gary, and then, boom, you're kind of developing this whole technology together now. So,
well, I mean, it was very funny, because it's like when we first met, it's like I had a friend who was
an astrologer,
and he was, you know, he was one of the best I'd ever met. And it's like, so I said, do you ever do, you know, partnership, you know, charts? And he goes, yeah. And he showed me how he did it. And he took a chart of us, and it's like literally we were so perfectly matched. He said, you are the most perfectly matched people I have ever met in my life. I went, what? He said, yeah, everything that he's strong on is here on this side of the chart, and everything you're strong on is this side. And where he's strong over here, you're strong over here, which ties the two of you together. And I went, whoa, that's amazing. And it was just the beginning of, because it's like, you know, it's like I had been taken advantage of by a lot of people when I started. And so I was skeptical. And so that was one of the reasons that I did the chart, because I wanted to see if this was actually something that was going to work out.
Right. And I guess it has worked out, because what is it now? 20 years later almost? No, not quite. It's about
15, I think.
Yeah, it's about 13 since I've been around, so yeah. Roughly about 2000.
I mean, you've developed this thing together, and you also branched off and done your own work, but let's talk a little bit more about Access, because I remember you were doing the bars back in the 90s, and you were running it on people's, you know, heads, and people were having amazing results. But what has evolved since then? How has it expanded, and what have you learned about this healing work?
Well, the one thing I learned is that you have to, you know, it's like if you ask people a question and you get the question, if you get the question in such a way that it accesses what they already know, it empowers them with their knowing, but it also gives you an awareness of things you never thought you could be aware of. So for me, it's like I'm always interested in what question do I need to ask here. And a question, the purpose of a question is not to get an answer, but to get an awareness. And when you start functioning from this desire to get an awareness rather than this desire to get an answer, all of a sudden everything in life starts to open up and become greater.
I guess that's what people mistake when they ask a question. They're actually asking for awareness as opposed to an answer.
Exactly. I mean, unfortunately, we're taught as kids that we're supposed to get the answer, and the right answer is what's really you're supposed to have. Mm. And the reality is, it's like, what if there were no right answer? What if there was no wrong answer? What if there was just the answer that worked for you?
Right. So I'm just trying to integrate what you're saying there, because I think it's important, because when we get the answer, we get an answer. It doesn't really shift us. Okay, we have more information, but when we get an awareness, then we have a shift.
Exactly. And it's like what's most important from my perspective is that we get to this place where we have a sense of what's actually possible, and that we have a greater sense of the possibilities in life. And one of the things we have is this basic idea is you ask a question, that opens you up to multiple choices. Every time you get multiple choices, you actually, if you ask, you know, if I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? If I don't choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? That gives you a set of possibilities. And because of the possibilities that show up, more questions show up, more choices show up, more possibilities show up, and ultimately, the quantum entanglements of the universe does its best to create that life of what your life will be like in 5 years, and that's what the universe wants to give us, and most of us are not willing to receive it.
Why do you think we're not willing to receive it?
Well, were you taught to receive as a kid? I wasn't. I was taught I had to do for others,
right,
not that I could receive. And it's like, right. And if I receive something, I love the fact that when I received something, I had to write a thank you note, even if I hated it.
Right.
You know?
but But you guys have relearned something, right? I mean, you've retaught yourself how to receive now, right?
Yeah, we've retaught ourselves. I mean, one of the things about the bars, the first step in the bars is that it's about getting you to the point where you start to receive again. Because you don't have to do anything. You just have to lie there and receive. And so it's the beginning of it is to actually begin the process of getting you to the point where you can receive. Okay. Then after that, you start developing questions, which then increase the receiving dynamically.
But Dane, maybe you can talk a little bit about how the bars actually work. I mean, you're sitting there, someone's sitting there, and they have their hands on your head. But how is it actually transferring information and shifting consciousness?
Well, I'd say what it does is it seems to undo the stuck places and the polarity or any polarized point of view we have in our lives, and that's good or bad. In other words, what it does, it undoes that sort of lock of judgment that we placed on ourselves. And so what happens is, you know, there's 32 points. They have names like money, body, joy, sadness, creativity, control. And when you hold the points, what happens is it literally dissipates the electromagnetic component of thoughts, feelings, emotions, and judgments. And, you know, we've been told for numerous years in the spiritual community that it's our polarity that's creating the difficulty in our lives, but we've never really had a way of undoing it or getting to a place of creating an unpolarized world. And that's exactly what this does. It literally physically seems to, what we've heard from people who have studied such things is that it seems to change the brainwave patterns that people function from, and it also seems to change body chemistry. Well, so that's a physiological result, but the result in what you feel when you get a session, I mean, literally, I was in such a contracted state when before I'd had my bars run for the first time, which is why I wanted to kill myself. I was tired of the constant state of feeling contracted with no choice. I lay down. This lady that I've never met before puts her hands on my head. It was Gary's stepdaughter. And I feel an energy run through my body that felt like, it was like liquid love, I guess is the best way I could describe it. It was like the universe was like, you're okay. And this energy kept going so much that I was giggling for an hour and 15 minutes. I literally got up, and it was like all the chokeholds that had been in my reality that I couldn't change, even though I'd been trying to dynamically, all of a sudden weren't there anymore. And the weird part is they never came back.
Wow. But I don't quite get how it exactly works. So there's these points, 32 points in the head. You hold them, and also I've read in the literature, this is something that Gary brought through to the planet for the first time, but how does this actually, what's the technology or actual physics of it?
Okay, so basically what it boils down to is when you touch this, you know, put these points on the head and you touch them with a willingness for them to change, what you're doing is it's like taking a magnet and when you touch it to, you know, when you touch the magnet in the right polarity, everything sort of like becomes solid and real. But it's like when it's in the wrong polarity, it repels everything. So it's like when you have a situation in your life where you tend to be repelling a lot, you do this and it makes everything turn around and become more real, more solid, more capable of being used. And that's the thing that I think is most important is that it's a useful thing. I'm a pragmatist. It's like if I can't show you how it works and I can't make it work, then I don't want to tell you about it. So for me, it was, you know, I used to go to spiritual things and I'd be on a mountaintop someplace and the person would say, well, you know, I'd go, so how do I handle my money situation? They go, if you weave on the loom of Maya in the seventh house of the golden sun of the ray of the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I would go, what the frig does that mean, and how the hell do I use that?
Right.
And they'd go, you're being disrespectful to the channel. And I'd go, I think this channel's being disrespectful for me. It's like, you know what? It's like, tell me what I'm asking for. Give me a clue about how to do this. I don't know how to do it. I need some help. And so everything in my life has been about making it pragmatic. So with access, I think the one thing that Dane and I have in common is we want things to be pragmatic. They have to be useful, or there's no reason to do them.
Right. No, thank you for saying that. And I remember that about you. You were quite a rebel back then too. In the,
yeah.
In the-
it's only gotten worse or better or something.
Yeah. Or better or worse. It's gotten
well,
worse.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting point because have you guys evolved? I mean, the work's evolved. I mean, there's thousands of people aware of this. What's happened to each of you personally in your own evolution since, like, you started working together and developed all this?
Well, that's a big question. I'd say for me personally, what happened is I got out of the place in which I tried to control my children and control my wife, and I got out of the place where I tried to control life because I was a bit of a control freak. And I got to the point where I was willing to be the question that allowed the universe to contribute to me. And it's like, I had always wanted, I mean, when I was 6 years old, people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I go, happy. And they go, no, son, what do you want to be? Happy. They go, no, son, you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, and your chief? Yeah, as long as I'm happy. And today, I am happy.
Are you happy?
All the time.
Is just letting go of control get you there?
Yeah, because when you finally realize that you can't control, you don't need to control things. You need to live with as the question, which opens the doors to all the possibilities that are there. And it's like you start to have this new space from which you function, that everything just sort of falls into place and works.
Wow. And what about you, Dane? I mean, I know you're not suicidal anymore, but...
Yeah, thank God for that. Actually, you know what Gary said about the space, I think that's one of the biggest things that has occurred for me personally, is there's a sense of space. And I try to describe it to people. It's like when you go out in nature and there's nobody else around, after a while it feels like the weight of the world comes off of your shoulders and you can finally breathe. And that's kind of... like that sense of space, the sense of being happy, the sense of joy is something I walk around with pretty much all the time. Now, is it perfect and all the time? No, but it's pretty much most of the time. But also, I mean, for me, 13 years ago, I was insecure. I didn't have any idea that I had any capacities or abilities. I didn't have any idea that there was some greatness or great possibilities lurking within. All I could ever see was the opposite of that, and that's totally changed. You know, it's like the level of, it's like, you know, I'll sit at a table now. It's like, and I've had the fortune of, you know, shaking hands with and being around having conversations with some well-known, you know, quote-unquote high-power people. And 13 years ago, I would have just not been there. I would have been like, oh, my God, this person is so great, and I'm so not. And now it's like, hi, how you doing? It's like it can be present in any situation in my life. But the level of happiness is just one of the most amazing gifts there is. And the other thing that is so different is now when something's off or wonky, I know it's going to change. It's just a matter of when and how long, what it's going to take to find the tool to change it. But before, I never had a sense that that was the case. I thought, geez, you know what, I may end up living this way, which is why I was dying inside. No longer.
But yeah, no, you made a choice, and you wrote, you know, I mean, it's probably about, in this book, being... you changing the world, so this acceptance of yourself, but that's a big step for people to go from, you know, suicidal or just depressed or whatever to totally accepting and wanting to be themselves. And what was that key moment that did it for you?
I've got to say, it literally was having that first bar session that I had. Mm-hmm. And literally, because...
Well, you got to tell the story about how you... saw the ad and stuff, because that's a little more...
Well, we were living in Santa Barbara. I was living in Santa Barbara, and there's a paper that comes out once a week called The Independent. And I'm flipping through the paper, not looking for anything in particular, but I've made this demand a week before. Universe, either my life changes or I'm killing myself. And I see this tiny little classified ad, and it said
tiniest
access.
Tiniest ad in the world. Tiniest one in the world.
And it said access. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. And literally, it was tiny. It was like the cheapest ad anybody could buy with the tiniest lettering with only two lines. And I see this thing in the middle of all these classified ads, and I see this girl's phone number, and I call her. And I'm like, hey, what do you do? And she went, well, we do all kinds of things, but a good place to start is probably with the bars. And she sounds like one of the only sort of happy, present people I've met in Santa Barbara since I've been living there. Yeah. And I was like, wow, she feels different. Okay. And so I went, and that's how I got to the place where I had the session. Actually, the first time I saw the ad when it said, all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory, I got so angry because my life was pain, suffering, and gory at the time, that I grabbed the paper and smashed it and threw it in the trash. And it took the following paper a week later that I'm leafing through, looking for nothing in particular, and I see this ad. So that truly was the moment where I realized, wait a minute, if life can feel this way, I want to be alive. If it can actually be like this, I want to live. I'm ready.
So the bars connected you to these bigger parts of yourself, but then you still have to do the work. You still have to say, I'm going to accept myself. I'm going to love myself. I mean, it's not just magic, this thing. I mean, you're making it sound like, there's still work to do.
Definitely work
absolutely.
To do. But it's like you've got, it's like the thing is, most of us, it's like we just want to know that we can actually succeed at something. It's like I personally tried every, church, cult, and religion known to mankind, trying to find some way through. And then with this, it's like I've watched one person after the other. I've seen people who came to Access who were so miserable they could barely function in life. And, in fact, mostly they weren't actually functional. And within 6 months to 3 years, depending on the person, they're totally functional. They're happy. They're cracking jokes when before all they would do is cry. And
Literally.
They would only cry. And they thought that made everything better, crying. And they would have these amazing breakthroughs and start to change and become everything that they'd always wanted. And I watched their kids come, and we let kids come for free to Access. I watched their kids come, and the kids change and become greater and become happier and get better grades, and everything started to become good for them. So I know it works.
And yes, is there work? Absolutely. And that's the thing is, but when you're doing something that actually does work, that's the difference. Because I had done so many things prior to Access. I had done everything I could, seminars, workshops, books. And the difference with me was I would read a book that had tools in it, and I would actually do the tools. Mm-hmm. And it would work for a day or two or three or five, and then I felt like I was back in the soup again. The difference with this is there's work to be done, but it actually works. And that, I think, is one of the biggest differences. And is there an element of magic to it in the way things show up a lot of times? Yeah, actually there is. And it's also because it's that willingness to receive, once again, that's opened up a lot more. So there's the magic and there's the work. It's got both.
Part of the thing we realized is that you can't actually receive unless you're totally willing to be, and you can't really be unless you're totally willing to receive. So you kind of got to combine the two in order to have everything you really want.
But what is the work that has to be done when you say the work? I mean, yes, you can receive, but what else do you have to do
to
make
that change?
Well,
it's like we have some basic core classes. There's the bars is the first one, and that's where you learn how to do it so you can deliver it on others and get it done on yourself. And then there's a foundation and a level one, and that's about busting loose from the matrix of this reality and beginning to see how you have a different choice. And then level two and three, and that's how you begin to recognize the choices you have and what else could be possible. And from there are other choices. There are other things you can take if you want to or not. It's your choice. We don't insist people do anything. We're not interested in being a cult or having people, it's like I don't have time to handle my life. I don't want to be somebody's guru.
Right.
So, if you try to make me into a guru, then I'll have to talk about porn flicks just to make sure you don't put me up on a pedestal.
That's funny. But as far as consciousness, or maybe we should talk about the porn flicks. But no, as far as consciousness, it seems like there is another level coming to the planet in general. I mean, can you talk about what you're sensing, both of you, from this? You've been working this, and you've been going deeper into accessing some other ways of being. But talk about, I feel there's something new happening. Can you, are you?
Yeah, I would definitely concur.
So would I.
And, it's time for something different. The way we're looking at it, we probably got about 15, maybe 20 years to change the direction our planet is going before it's too late to create it as being able to sustain life. And there's a capacity that we have, there's an awareness that we have, there's a consciousness that we are, that we've allowed to be buried for whatever reason. It's been buried for so long, and I think it's making a demand that it awaken. You know, the reason we call this access consciousness is because our definition of consciousness, if you will, our description of it is where everything exists and nothing is judged. And if you could imagine every part of you being able to be, even the parts that you've been judging, you realize that there's a totally different possibility available, because one of the other concepts is everything that's actually a strongness of us, we've been told is a wrongness of us. So what if every wrongness of you were actually a strongness of you? And people are starting to wake up and demand that that become their world. It's like they can feel the whispers of it. You know, it's like they can hear the whispers of it. They can sense it, and they know it's time for something different.
Well, one of the things that, you know, with the end of the Mayan calendar, it's like years ago I had channeled that the end of the Mayan calendar is the end of predictable time. That's all it really is. It will not be a disaster. It will not be any of this kind of stuff. And so when it occurred and everybody was expecting a disaster, I wasn't. And it was interesting to realize that what it did is it changed people from time as the construct of their reality into creation. And it's like now we have to look at what do we want to create. And if you even ask the question, so if I create this, what will the world be like in 50 years? What will it be like in 100 years? What will it be like in 500 years? Now, if you believe in reincarnation, you know, it's like you may not have the same body, but you might be back in 500 years. Is this going to be a world that's acceptable to you? What are we creating today, and how can we change it? And we have some processes and stuff that we do with Access that have made amazing changes of all kinds for a whole lot of, you know, for land, for kids, for kids that are diagnosed with, you know, disabilities, ADD, ADHD, OCD, and autism, and for people that have been searching their whole lives. We've found ways to facilitate them in discovering what they're capable of and what they know. And, you know, we've done some amazing stuff. And one of the things that is interesting to me personally is that I see the world needing the change, because if you look at the last 2,000 years of the world, well, you know, it's like in the last 2,000 years, there has been less geological change than there has at any other time in history. Who was the strongest element on the planet during that time? Mankind. Now the planet is sort of objecting to being held captive to that 2,000 years of no change. And it's got to change. And that's really, you know, it's like if we as mankind have the ability to stop the change for 2,000 years, what if we contributed to what the world needed, what the Earth needed instead? Mm-hmm. What else could be created?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. But before we get there, can you go through some of the, like, a simple exercise someone would do in the class? I mean, you don't have to give everything away, but, you know, I'm just curious.
Oh, we'll give it all away. We don't care.
All right, then give some of it away. And I want to know how you act. What are some of those processes you take?
So one of the simple processes that we give to everybody that has been really helpful is, what stupidity are you using to create the stupidity you are choosing? Now, by stupidity, what we mean is unawareness. Because it's like, literally, you have to make yourself unaware to create a problem in your life.
Right.
Any problem. So it's like, what stupidity, what unawareness are you using to create the unawareness you are choosing? And everything that creates that, times a godzillion, we destroy and uncreate it all. Right and wrong, good and bad, pod and poc, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. Now, some of you out there in the audience may be feeling something going on. You know, think about, you know, your last, you know, the current relationship you have or the last relationship you have, last relationship you had, and how that was working out. So what stupidity are you using to create the stupidity you are choosing? Everything that is times a godzillion, we just run and create it all. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. What stupidity are you using to create the stupidity you are choosing? Everything that is times a godzillion, we just don't create it all. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, me on. Now look at that relationship again. Does it feel the same or does it feel changed?
Right. Well, I'm just looking at the issue of abundance and all that, and seeing, yeah, I'm just looking at the stupidities that have been in place that, you know, was just based on a lack of awareness.
You know? Yeah. You know, it's like, I mean, do people actually teach you how to handle money? My parents didn't. They said, work hard, save your money, and you'll be fine. And it's like, I tried working hard, I tried saving my money, and I didn't get fine.
Right. So what do you say about that? I mean,
well, my point of view is, so what do you love doing that would create money?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there are a whole lot of us that love doing certain things, but because it's really easy for us, we think we can't make any money with it, which is not necessarily true.
One of the interesting things Gary said in one of the first classes I heard him deliver was, the thing that will make you the most money is the thing you do the easiest, but because it's so easy for you, you think it has no value, and you think nobody will pay you for it. That's actually the thing people would pay you most for. And I looked at that and I went, wow, I wonder what that is for me. And everybody in the class was like, I wonder what that is for me. And in realizing that, I started going, okay, what is it I like to do? What is it that's actually fun for me? What is it that people ask me for that I've never valued? And I started realizing, you know, it was in the areas of healing, in the areas of awareness, you know, because they would ask me for advice and ask me for information. And it really is true. The thing that you do that's the greatest thing that people will pay you for, you value the least. But what it is the other thing about it is you also have to be willing to receive. One of the things also that Gary said in the beginning, because one of the things I really wanted to handle when I first came to Access was money. And obviously, right now in the world, there are a lot of people who are having a lot of stuff go on around money. And so one of the things I wanted to handle was money. And what happened was he said, you know what, there's no such thing as a money issue. There's only an issue in what you're willing to receive. And I went, what? He said, there's no such thing as a money issue, only what you're willing to receive. If you're not willing to receive, there's no way you can have money. And it just about knocked me off my feet. And I started looking and going, wow, okay, so what am I refusing to receive that if I received it would allow me to make more money? And I realized, wow, I'm refusing to receive, you know, the judgments my family would have. I'm refusing to receive my family wanting to ask me for money. I'm refusing to receive the judgments my friends would have. It boiled down more than anything to my refusal to receive judgment. Once I got to a place and I went, wait a minute, I'd much rather have the money and the happiness, even if other people judge it, because it might inspire the people that desire it to know it's possible, okay, I'm willing to have it now, and things started changing.
I get it. So it wasn't directly involved with money, but it was in the way of accessing the money.
Yeah, exactly. And what would happen is, so if you just went to work on money, well, if you did it sort of using the access tools, it would still change because of the energetic way we go about it, this clearing statement that Gary ran, you know, which is you could say, what stupidity am I using to create the stupidity around money I am choosing?
Yeah.
And what'll happen is it will still unlock it from the other side. But yeah, if you're looking in, but if you don't have that tool, if you just go and you're trying to change your money situation, it doesn't ever work because the fundamental underlying thing is the receiving.
Right, I get it. So I'm just looking at that for myself. I mean, I really do enjoy just talking to people and asking them questions, and it does seem like such an easy, simple, beautiful thing.
And, for you, yes.
For me, yes, and it's fun and all that, and I could probably make some money, but it's not about that. It's about what I'm not able to receive.
Yeah, so So would you be willing to be the richest member of your family, Truth?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
Okay,
yes,
even if it meant they all came to you and tried to beg money off of you and you had to say no?
I have to say no. Yes. I mean, I think where I get stuck is that my father actually had a hard time in business, and he wasn't happy. And if you go into business and make money, you won't be happy. I think that's the programming that
You did to make that real, we destroy and uncreate it all.
We uncreate it? How do we uncreate it?
And uncreate it. Well, the thing is, it's like we built this house of cards called our financial situation, for instance. okay? And it's like, if you destroy and uncreate it, then you go back to the first card you laid down and you pull that out, and you don't have to take the layers of the house, you know, cards down. You just uncreate the whole thing, and the whole thing falls down. And it's much easier. And the thing is,
how do you uncreate it, though? How do you pull that? How do you
Well, here's the beauty of it. You just say yes, and then we actually run this clearing statement.
And it works.
And if you notice, what's in the middle of the clearing statement is POC and POD. And POC stands for going back to the point of creation of wherever you locked this insane point of view in the first place. And you don't even have to know when it was. You don't even have to know what the specific point of view was. You just have to be willing to get rid of the stupidity you're using to create the stupidity around money you're choosing. And that layer goes away. Then we run it again, and another layer goes away. And we run it again, and another layer goes away. And what ends up happening as a result of that is rather than contraction around money, you end up having space.
Okay, what's that statement again?
It's right and wrong, good and bad, pod and poc, or poc and pod, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And there's literally a 20-minute explanation of it. We don't want to, bore you with the explanation of it right now.
Where do they go to find it if they want
but
to find
you
out?
Can actually go to theclearingstatement.com and find it there. TheClearingStatement.com, or you can go to my website, which is drdanehere.com, and there's an explanation of it there.
But it's not like a mantra. It's more like a series of intentions that unravel.
Well, it's actually a direction you give, because every molecule in the universe is at our beck and call if we choose to ask it. And what we tend to do is we tend not to be willing to receive that everything wants to contribute to us, so we don't ask it. And it's like what you do is you start asking the molecules to go to the place wherever you created this thing so that it can go away. And the end result is things go away.
So
do you have to work hard at it? No. Do you have to work at it? Yeah. But not hard. And it's not about hard work, and it's not about, you know, beating yourself up, you know, tying yourself in knots or any of that. It's about the recognition that it's a choice that we made at some time in the past. What would happen if we unchose it?
Right, and that's what we do with this clearing statement. We unchoose it. We sort of like redo the past in a sense.
Exactly.
Yep.
I see.
And so the future shows up different as a result of it.
The future shows up different, and just by I just ran that statement that you just said about abundance. So that will already start to. Would you do that all day, like a mantra? Would you want to just say that?
It's like if it's a particularly, you know, big issue for you, like if, you know, like with money, it is the big issue for a lot of people. I'd say put this on a loop and listen to it all night long for about 30 days. And most of them do, and they go, it's so weird. My money situation changed, and I didn't do anything. I said, yeah, you did. You ran the process. And when you run the process, you're emptying the, you know, bladder of unconsciousness you have, as though, you know, it's like you don't hold on to the rest of your life as though that's the only choice you have.
And it's the same statement for relationships, if I want to change my relationships.
Yep, exactly. It applies to pretty much anything.
It applies, the same exact statement applies to anything. So,
yep. So what am I using to create the body I am choosing? If you're not happy with your body and you can't change it. What am I using to create the film, the insanity, whatever.
The unhappiness.
Yeah.
I see. So that simple statement, it just, why don't you, that's all people need to do then, in a sense, right?
Well, that's not all they need to do. There's some other things they need to do. Because one of the things we try and do is give them the tools they can use to create some change. Like one of the things with money is I always say, so when you go to buy something, you want to ask it, if I buy you, will you make me money? Even if it's a shirt. Now, you're not going to sell your shirt for more than you paid for it. That's not going to happen. But if you buy a shirt that where the, every molecule of the shirt knows that its job is to make you money, are you going to get more money?
What, did you actually sort of program that intention into the merchandise, would you say?
You just ask.
Because the shirt has a consciousness of its own.
Every molecule does.
Every molecule does, and everything that is in existence does. And if you ask the consciousness of it, it lets you know. And, you know, if it sounds funny to if you've never heard this concept before, to, you know, ask a shirt if it'll make you money, but you're asking the consciousness interacting with your consciousness if it will create that contribution in your life. And with this thing about the shirt making you money as an example, you know, there are certain things that you wear where people look at you and they go, wow, you look good, and or they look at you and they go, wow, you must have money if you're looking that good in whatever this thing is.
Wow, so that's why, yeah, no, I'm just thinking, if you get a clothing that someone else has given you and you don't really care, you're not really doing the work, are you? I mean,
no.
You're taking
because
on someone else's
stuff. Because
you're not
asking the universe to support you in what you desire. Because it's like, you know, it's like every molecule in the universe has consciousness in it. Do we ask for that to contribute to it?
Right.
Usually not. And
I like it. I like that. I am going to do everything that will this food that I'm eating make me feel better or worse or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, now that's a judgment. You don't want to go to the judgment.
Okay.
Will this, you know, contribute to my body?
Oh, I get it. I get it. Okay. Yes, will this even trip contribute to my expanded awareness, something like
exactly.
that,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, that's the way. Perfect.
Okay, so everything that we are kind of faced with doing or not doing, we ask, and we will get the answer because we have that available to us, all those.
Exactly. You know, it's like the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. It's one of the truths in the Bible.
And we figure that they probably hid it in the Bible so nobody would believe it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's one of the truths of the Bible, ask and you shall receive. And so you're asking, on the one hand, you're asking, just by being willing to be in that place of asking, will you make me money, will you contribute to my body, you're actually being willing to open up to more receiving of what will make you money, what will contribute to your body, or
and
whatever else you're asking
for. What will bring
for.
You more consciousness.
Yes.
Right. I could ask, like, okay, will this make me money, or will this shirt make me even more money, or do we not judge it?
No, you just stepped into the judgment.
Okay.
More is always a judgment.
Okay.
Will you make me money is all you have to ask, because it's like you keep it simple, and what happens is the universe goes, oh, that's what you want. Like, for instance, if you say, I want more money, the word want has 27 definitions, which means to lack. And a dictionary that was made prior to 1946. Mm. So if you say, I want more money, you're saying, I lack of more money.
Right. Like, so we don't want to say, I want more money, because we'll
you
just
want to say, I don't want
wanting.
More money.
What? You want to say what, did you say?
I don't want more money.
I don't want more. You say,
if
I
you
don't?
Say, if you say it 10 times in a row, there's only about one person out of 500 who cannot smile.
Right. I get it.
Because you're saying, right. I don't lack of money.
Right.
I don't want more money. I don't lack of more money. I don't lack of more money. I don't want 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 more money. And most people feel better as a result of it.
Because they're getting rid of the lack that's implied.
Yeah, they're getting rid of the lack that they say every time they say want. One of the things I noticed is that people who have a lot of money don't use the word want.
That's true. They just do it. They just
They just get it. They have it. They're willing to have it. They're willing to make it happen.
But what if you don't know? What if you ask, okay, will this shirt or this business or this proposal make me more? What if you get
It's not make me more. Will you make me money?
Will you make me? So it's you get either a strong yes or a no. Is that what you get saying?
Yep. Get a strong yes or a strong no.
And
okay.
It's also a little bit of practice, you know, because this is sort of learning the language
of consciousness.
Know. Yeah, and so as you learn this language of consciousness, takes a little practice to get what a yes, what a no is, and what'll start to happen is you'll just start to choose from it. If you ask this every time you go to buy something, let's say a piece of clothing or anything, if you ask this, you'll start to get a sense of when it will and when it won't, and pretty soon you'll just become that question. It won't even be a cognitive thing. It'll just be a thing that you're aware of. It'll be part of you.
Well, that's as if your body is responding. It bypasses the mind that wants to judge. So your body gets the sense of what it is, doesn't it?
Well, I think the being gets the sense. I'm not sure the body does.
Okay.
The difficulty is we as the beings tend to override our bodies. You know, it's like you ever eaten something that wasn't really good for you or gone to bed with somebody you knew you shouldn't have? We can override our bodies. So it's like
right.
The being always knows.
So, yeah, I get that. Part of us always knows if we find out, like Dane says, how to actually tune in to what it is that really knows. Then
exactly.
Okay, I'm getting something out of this conversation. I'm getting. Now, what about, you know, of course you're working consciously on yourself in all the areas that you want to change and transform, but there are levels of the subconscious mind that are in the way that we don't even know are in the way. How do you access those parts of ourselves?
First of all, you know, it's like, would an infinite being have a subconscious mind?
Well, no, if it was infinite, no.
Okay,
true.
So it's like, so is the subconscious mind a creation or a reality?
It's a creation. The infinite being is who we are, and we...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and so the whole subconscious thing is a way of justifying the things that we don't seem to be able to do or be.
You mean
rather
stupidity.
Than the recognition so if we have infinite choice, and it's like, you know, every metaphysical thing says it's a free will universe, so that should mean we should have infinite choice. But are we functioning from infinite choice, or are we functioning from limited choice?
Mm-hmm. So the subconscious mind justifies our stupidity. Is that what you're saying?
It justifies our stupidity, exactly.
Right. So if we're infinite beings, and we know we're infinite beings... but don't you still come up against stuff that, or maybe you don't, maybe you're really happy, but it seems like some people, they are happy, but they're coming up again. I mean, I know a guy who has a lot of money, millions of dollars, and, you know, he's not any happier than anyone else, but he's not less happy, but he's still dealing with stuff, you know?
Well, it's not the answer.
Yeah, right.
No.
That's right.
I mean, it's what you choose to be, and it's like, we've worked with people who had $10 in their pocket and people who had $10 million in the pocket. And it's like, it's amazing that their receiving is the same.
Right.
And their issues around money are the same. You know, we've worked with people who have $10 million who have the same scarcity mentality that the person with $10 does. In fact, oftentimes the person with $10 has an easier time of it because they don't have anything left to lose. You know, so it's really that that boils down to that willingness to receive, but also... what are you willing to be, and how are you willing to be? And, you know, you talk about the things that you aren't aware that might be limiting you. The clearing statement, see, the interesting thing about access is the way you actually go about undoing limitation is by heading toward what you desire and undoing what gets in the way of that. So it's like that's how you find out what is limiting you is by, you know, you're like, hey, I'd like to have a lot more money. And yet this energy comes up when you think about it or when you head in that direction and start making choices in that direction. Well, then what you do is you pock and pod them. You pock and pod literally the energy of what creates that, and you have these verbal processes like, what stupidity am I using to create this stupidity I am choosing? Mm. You know, what stupidity am I using, which is what unawareness am I using to create this? And it starts going away, and that thing that felt like a wall or a trap surrounding you, all of a sudden, it starts to dissipate, and you start to realize you have more choices. Because we're cutting off the choices we have available with the unconscious choices that we made
and,
in the past.
And the conclusion that we've come to about that.
Yes.
So this earth plane is really an unlimited kingdom of possibilities, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I mean, if you look at a, you know, it's like you take a bare lot, okay, and they come in and they bulldoze everything off the lot. If nobody touches it, within 6 months it's covered with weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell you? Now, we call them weeds, but what they are is the strongest elements that will always survive. So it's like we need to recognize the weed that we are so that we can become everything we are capable of becoming.
Mm. So there's nothing, I know the answer, but I'm just thinking out loud. There's nothing we cannot become or want or desire or have. And it seems like, yes, we can come into a planet where everyone can have that, but that's not happening. Why is that not happening?
Because people aren't choosing it.
And we've never been taught that we have choice.
Right.
We've been taught that we don't. It's one of the biggest lies we buy, you know, and you know, we're told we're living a free will universe, and we look at our lives and we're like, wait a minute, how does that equate? So part of what we do is we empower people to know that they know, not that we know, but that they know. And that when you start to follow that knowing and start to choose, you start to have a whole different world available.
There's a whole different universe available to you when you actually know that you know and choose from your knowing.
Right. So I'm just integrating. So when I know that I know and I choose from my knowing, I mean, I've been just talking to this woman who's having a hard time because she knows that, and yet she falls into the same traps of her own mind. So what is she not doing?
Pocking and potting.
Oh, pocking and potting. Just saying that statement to release the stuff in the way.
To release the, you know, the points of view that you have that are limitations.
And the short version of it is literally pock and pot. And, you know, I describe it to people like, you know, like a magic wand. It's like, you know, haven't we all known we should be able to wave a wand and change the things that aren't working? And it literally works kind of like that. And, you know, a good friend of mine, I was being interviewed by her on her radio program, and she said, you know, and I gave this five-minute explanation of this clearing statement. She said, that's great, Dane. She said, but the way, like, can I give my explanation? I'm like, sure. She said, it's basically like this. She's like, you're surrounded by a lot of crap and a lot of yuckiness. She's like, this is basically like a cosmic vacuum. It just comes and sucks up all the yuck and all the crap and makes it go away and makes your life easier. I'm like, thanks.
Wait, so is pock and pod the only word, or I mean, and is it the intention you guys put on that that does the clearing, or is actually...
No, it's the request.
What do you mean?
Well, it's like, are you requesting to change something?
Yes, I am. So if I say yes...
So when you request to change something and you do this clearing statement, it's like all you're doing is requesting of the universe to change what it can so you can have something different.
Well, I'm going to try this
clearance. It would be sort of like, you know, pass the potato.
That's it. It's like requesting of the universe to change something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use
that. I can have a different point of view. You know, we have body processes and stuff that are just amazing. I mean, people are having amazing results with those. We've had people that have done some of the body processes. I know personally. It's like I did some body processes, and I had a back operation years ago that had me so stiff I could barely move. And I did this body process, and suddenly the stiffness is gone.
So the word is POC, P-O-C, and POD, P-O-D.
Yeah.
Okay.
The point of creation and the point of destruction. Because whatever you're doing in your
is
life,
that
it's
what
either POD creating
means.
What's destroying
oh, okay.
you, or it's the destruction that you're creating.
Oh, okay. Point of destruction. Okay, I just thought they meant pod and poc, which are some old English words. But they actually are meaning something. I see.
Yep.
Point of destruction and point of creation. I see. All nine is what? When you go all nine?
Nine layers of crap you're taking out.
Shorts. Means...
That's the short version of what's meaningful about this, what's meaningless about this, what's this, you know, what's the reward
punishment
for this, or what's the punishment for this.
And boys, why do you have boys in there?
Well, that refers to the what we call nucleated spheres. I don't know whether you've ever done any work where they say you have to peel the layers of the onion, and you peel and you peel and you peel, and the onion is still there, and you don't get any more appealing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like literally it's that place where you become less, you have to then peel the layers of the onion. But this is like a nucleated sphere, and what it is, it's like a kid's bubble pipe. When you blow on a kid's bubble pipe and it has all those little holes at the end of it, it's like this mass of bubbles that come up, and you punch one and they fill in, and they punch and they fill in, they punch and they fill in. So it's like literally... That's what most of us are dealing with when we try to deal with the layers of the onion and get nowhere.
So that's what the boys mean.
Yeah, it was like we used to say it was this one, this one, this one, this one. And then, you know, it's like there were like 13 or 14 of them who kept discovering new ones. And then finally I said, okay. And all of those and all the boys, you know, all the rest of the boys, and it just became the boys eventually.
Oh, I see. And beyonds. Beyonds.
Well, beyonds are those feelings or sensations you get you know, when you sort of like go completely comatose at the time. You know, like with, it's like when I first got my first cell phone, I thought, oh my, how wonderful, I can talk everywhere. I can talk on the toilet. I can talk, you know, while I'm walking the streets. I can talk while I drive. And so my, you know, my rate was $39.95 for a month. And then, oops, the first bill came and it was $899. And I went, and I stopped breathing and I stopped moving and nothing worked and my brain froze and all that. That's a beyond.
Uh-huh. I see. So anything you come up against, like any situation that doesn't seem to be shifting and you really wanted to change, you just say the statement, right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys, and beyonds.
Yep.
And then something shifts because
yep.
you've set an intention with the universe who wants to assist you.
Request. It's not an intention.
Oh.
Okay, and the difference between a request and intention, intention is the idea you're trying to overcome something you've already decided you can't overcome.
Oh.
Request is letting the universe show you what you could have rather than trying to control it.
Oh, I see. So you're working in harmony with the universe with this statement.
Exactly.
Why does the universe ask us to even make a statement? Why can't it just do that without, you know, why can't we just do it?
Stupid.
What's that?
Because we're stupid.
Oh, we're stupid. I see. And because we don't know we can have it. So by saying the statement.
Yeah. We don't know that we can have the choice. And because we don't know we have the can have the choice, we act like we can't.
Oh.
We make that more real than the choice.
Wait, I'm just trying to get that one. So if we think that we, if we know, if we don't know we can have a choice, we act as if we can't have a choice.
Yeah.
And when we find out whether we do have a choice, we can act as if we can have a choice. Is that?
Yeah.
That's okay. And by acting if we can have a choice, obviously a choice shows up and the universe shifts because of that.
I know. Isn't it terrible?
So, I mean, I think what you're saying is that we can definitely have a planet where everyone could be enjoy, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's like, at least not joy, a sense of peace. And it's like there's almost no peace on this planet right now.
Mm-hmm. So why aren't you guys just like putting this on the front page of every newspaper and saying, look, you guys.
We're doing our best.
Okay.
True. We are working, we travel about 3.5 weeks out of every month.
And most of the time we work 12 hours a day. And I'm 70 years old and I'm working 12 hours a day and I take no supplements and I take no drugs and it's like, you know, I just keep on trucking.
Wait, who's 70? Is that you, Gary?
Me, Gary, yes.
You, Gary. Well, yeah, you're looking pretty good in the pictures that I saw.
Not bad for an old guy, huh?
That's great, and you're having the best time of your life, aren't you?
Best time of my life, yeah. I have more fun than I've ever had before. And I enjoy every single solitary day.
Beautiful, beautiful. And there is a big event coming up that I think you should tell people about because you want a lot of people there to get this and to really shift a planetary awareness.
Yeah, it's actually a Global Bars Day. It'll be January 6th. So you have time to plan for it, time to learn how to run bars and do it, but it'll be... I think it's January 6th.
Yep, January
6th. And literally what we're looking to do is get as many thousands of people as possible around the world doing this process all at the same time. I did a Global Bars class at one time. We had 1,000 people around the world running bars, and I could feel the reverberations in the world for months. So we had multiple thousands of people doing it. I wonder what change or what peace we could create.
They were all running bars at the same time around the planet.
Yeah,
yes.
Around the globe.
And so, this is you want an even bigger audience to do that.
Yeah,
now,
because the thing is, the one thing, every time we do bars, every time you let go of some point of view that you have, a minimum of 350,000 other people get rid of that at the same time.
How do you get that?
Well, it's like you know, it's sort of like the ultimate multi, you know, it's like our ultimate multi-level marketing plan has been to sell each other limitation.
Right.
So, all you know, it's like, let's say that 5,000 years ago, you sold somebody on the idea that purple was the only color worth having. So it's like you sold that to two people who sold it to, they sold it each to two people, and they sold it each to two more people. So pretty soon you have this giant world in which everybody thinks that purple's the only color.
Right. So
it's like when you get rid of it, then everybody you sold it to, who sold it to somebody else, it gets rid of all theirs too. And suddenly it's not just a purple world, it's a world of multicolors.
Would you say it's clear as a planetary karma? Is that what you're sort of saying?
Yeah.
I see. Okay, and October 4th in L.A., there's a big event as well, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There's the Being You, Changing the World class, and it's there's a three-hour class that evening that starts at 7 p.m. in L.A., and literally it's based on this book that I wrote, Being You, Changing the World, that has a huge number of these tools that we talked about today and a lot of other things in it. It's the beginning of a three-and-a-half-day class, but people can come just to that evening, get a taste of it, and get a taste of this energy that actually is palpable. You know, you can actually perceive it. I'll be working on somebody on the table also, in addition to us doing verbal things, and getting you to start tapping into your knowing and your awareness and start giving you the capacity to change your life.
Is that connected to what you're calling a symphony of possibilities?
Sure is. That truly is. This is the what I call the advanced class that I teach, using these, not only these verbal processes, but also this energy that came through. The first time I worked on Gary, I didn't know it, but here I was a chiropractor, and he said, look, your technique doesn't work. He said, look, ask my body what it wants, follow the energy, and you'll know what to do. And this energy came through, and literally he was flopping on the table like a fish, and I was standing 15 feet away. I didn't know it at the time, but he said he was dying. He got up. I wasn't dying any longer.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't dying, and I went, aw, shit, now I have to get to work.
So it's literally this universe, truly, our world could be a symphony of possibilities. That's what we'd like to invite people to and let them know, that this possibility for being alive is available for all of us. It's not just for weirdos and freaks anymore. It's for people who are actually practical and real and would like to be happy.
And we'll give you practical tools to create that.
I think everyone really wants that. They just don't know they want it.
Well, I think a whole lot of people know they want it these days. It's like they've noticed that a whole lot of what the past was didn't work.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of the things they've tried haven't worked. And they've done one thing after another, and it's like, and not enough has changed. And now people are like insisting that there's got to be more, and there's got to be more change, and it's showing up.
Mm. So are you, I appreciate that, because you are adding to the planetary current of possibility for sure. So what's next for you guys? I mean, you sort of seem to have it pretty together. I mean, are you still surprised by what the unknown delivers to your doorstep? I mean,
oftentimes, yes.
I would say absolutely. You know, it's part of the joy of being alive. It's like, wow, wonder what miracle is going to show up today. And, you know, I have a question I ask every morning, and it's, universe, please show me something beautiful today. It's my request of the universe, and it never fails. Every day I remember to ask, the universe delivers.
Well, it was funny, because this morning I got up really early because my grandson was here visiting. He's a year and a half years old, and from my point of view, he's one of the most beautiful things on the planet. But he's the sweetest, kindest, happiest kid I ever met in my life. And I'm sitting there at the sink washing up some dishes, and I look out, and there are these two squirrels playing in the tree. And it's like, and they are going back and forth. And I went, oh, my God, look at how wonderful that is. And I thought, you know what? This is an amazing planet we live on. And it's like, the critters want to play. It's only us who think we got to have problems.
Wow. Nice. What was the beautiful thing you saw today, Dane?
Oh, my. I had somebody give me a call from a meeting that we had had, and she said, I just want to thank you. You are the first person that I've ever met that wasn't in judgment of me. Because of you, I know this can exist on the planet. And I just cried. It was like she caught me at one of those moments where I could truly receive it. And it just pierced everything else that was going on. Because prior to that, I was having one of those days where I'm like,
having a bad hair day.
I was having a bad hair day. And I was like one of those days where I just had way too much to do with way too little time to do it. And I was letting it get to me like I don't usually do. And she just broke right through it. And it was just awesome.
Wow. Well, that is beautiful. That thank you for sharing that. I'm glad I asked you. But just to sort of wrap up, I mean, there's so much more. Maybe if you come to New York, we'll do a television interview. Are you planning on coming to New York at all? Or both of you?
We have no idea at the moment. First of all, we don't handle our schedule at all at this point. We just get told where we're going next. It's like as busy as we are, we have, it's like I know that this year, I guess I go to India and there's some people in Turkey who want me to come, and Dane's going to all kinds of, he's going to Sweden and Italy
and Denmark and Australia and New Zealand. So we have no idea where we're going.
Yeah.
Right. But you go to teach. Is this where you're going to teach?
Yeah, these are all the places where we go to teach. And it's like I don't know that teach is actually the correct word. We call it facilitating, because all we do is open the door for people to become aware of what they have always been aware of that they didn't know they were aware of. Mm. And that's really the greatest gift this is, because when they get this thing on their own, it changes everything in their lives. It's just amazing to watch.
Mm. So you think we're going to reach a critical point for the planet in some near future where, boom, everyone will get it?
I hope so. But, right now, it's one of the reasons that we work as hard as we do, because our basic point of view is there's got to be something different occurring or the planet is not going to make it.
But is there? Haven't you noticed that there is something different occurring?
Yeah, I have, and I see not enough people yet choosing it.
Right. Okay, so you're out there telling people they have a choice. That's basically your
opening the door for them to have choice, recognize their choice, and start creating something greater.
Mm-hmm. And seeing people shift is really the gift in this work for you guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like we do a class, and I watch people change before my very eyes. I watched their physical form change. I watched people lose, like, women have lost like 2 or 3 dress sizes overnight from changing their point of view. And it's like, really? And I've watched people I've watched guys who are like, their shoulders are all rolled in and they feel like crap about themselves. And it's like by the fourth day, they're standing tall, their shoulders are back, they've got their, their chest sticking out. And they're feeling good about themselves.
Mm.
You know what? So, nothing is better than that. No amount of money in the world equals that kind of change.
Wow. Wow. Well, I appreciate what you're doing, and you're really showing me right now how magical the world is. And,
because it's a magical world we live in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've just got to start choosing better so that we choose the magic instead of the misery.
Just one. Do you think there's a force in the universe that's stopping people from choosing the mirror? That's keeping them stupid, or whatever you want to call it?
I think it's the entrained point of view that people have taken. It's like we all try to align and agree with each other, and figure out how to get along, quote unquote, with someone that we don't even like. And it's like rather than going, okay, I don't really like this person, but I can see their value.
Right. And so. But so what we have to, we just need to value ourselves in order to overcome that, you're saying?
Well, we need to value not just ourselves, but we have to include ourselves in things. One of the things I see people do is they function from the kingdom of me, and it's always about how miserable I am, how wrong I am, how terrible I am. But it's like, and then they'll look at the goodness of somebody else, and I say, you know what? You need to function from the kingdom of we, in which you realize you too are included in the goodness.
Mm. Mm. Right. No, thank you. I appreciate that. So, there's so much more we could say. I mean, is there anything you want to leave? I mean, each of you with people thinking or contemplating?
You are magic. Be it.
Yeah, what if you realized this was a universe and a planet full of possibilities? And what if it's truly within your grasp to have them too? What if it's not just some spiritual guru, master, leader who can live in a cave and, you know, be totally unaffected by this reality? What if it's time for you to have it in your living, breathing reality? And what if you realize that you truly being you are the gift and the change this world requires?
And you're the orchestrator of your symphony of possibilities.
Mm. Yeah, I think that is the shift that we need to wake up, is just considering the possibility. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's I'm okay, I'm going for it. I'm choosing that.
Cool. Awesome. Cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And, yeah, I hope everyone listening will also choose it, because it does seem to be multiplied as more people go for that, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, Alan, I'm just going to mention, I have a free video series on my website, drdanehere.com. Actually, two of them that are free. They're a gift to people. And they have some of these beginning access tools that I use to start getting out of the muck and start having a sense of space and a sense of ease. You go there, and literally it's like you'll get an email in your inbox, and then there'll be another one a few days later. But it's my gift to people, so I'd just like to let them know that's available as my contribution to them.
Oh, definitely. So that's Dr. D-R Dane, D-A-I-N, here, H-E-E-R.com.
Yep, that's correct.
And then once they go to that website, what do they look for?
There's a sign-in place somewhere there, and there, I think the one that's currently available is called the Being You video series, which is the one with a specific sort of set of tools that are there with other information that you get. And another one is called the Tour of Consciousness, which is where I take a video from wherever I am around the world with whatever tool has come up in present time that I want to share with people. And it's amazing the number of people who sent me emails going, I can't believe it. It's like you're in my head. Every time I need it, you're like in my inbox. So it's about following the energy and contributing whatever's possible, you know, to let people know this change is possible for them too.
And there's got to be change on the planet, because if we don't actually create that, then, you know, the planet may not survive.
Well, we are creating. I mean, just you guys doing what you're doing and all the people I talk to on this radio program, I think something's happening.
Yes, I agree. Can it happen faster, please?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's have it happen faster. I mean,
exactly.
Maybe.
Definitely.
I mean, maybe we'll wake up tomorrow and boom. What would be a sign of that? What? No more war, no more hunger, no more. I mean,
I think what it would be is people would actually have a lot less separation.
Yeah.
There would be a lot less judgment of anyone or anything. I mean,
that would be the real sign of it, is there would be no judgment. Judgment would cease.
And if you could imagine waking up tomorrow and having no judgment of anyone or anything, and no one having any judgment of you, would that be a different world or what?
I can't help but thinking judgment is a part of our human conditioning, but you're saying it doesn't have to be.
And that's exactly the difficulty, is judgment is part.
People believe
that that's the reality that we have to function from. And most people don't get judgment is a destructive force. It's not a creative force.
Right. There's no, when you're judging, you're not loving, are you? I mean, it seems like
no.
That.
And so, you're not kind, and you're not creative.
Even to yourself.
Right, even when you judge yourself, especially, you're not kind and creative.
Especially.
So, I see. So judgment is the key destructive force, or one of them, on the planet.
Judgment is the killer of reality.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Well, I a planet without judgment, that would be, well, I know it would be possible, obviously.
Yep.
And you live your life that way as well, without judgment.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big accomplishment, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a big accomplishment, but it certainly is a lot more fun.
It really is a lot more fun. What that creates is this sense, number one, it's a sense of peace. But it's also, whenever something comes up that really sort of twists other people into weird places, you don't go there. You don't have to, because your judgments don't force you into that corner that's really sticky and yucky. It's like you stand out and you observe it, and you go, wow, what choices do I have available here?
Right. So what I'm getting from what you're saying is that we can choose to judge or we can choose not to judge.
Yep. Exactly.
Exactly.
I get it now. So anytime I go into a judgment, it's either the stupidity or the automatic program part and saying, I don't need to do that. I'm not going there.
Pock and pod that.
And literally, you know, this is the beauty of this pock and pod, this clearing statement, is we've all had awarenesses of things we didn't want to do anymore. And so we go, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. And yet a week later, we find ourselves doing the exact same thing we weren't going to do. And what the pock and pod does is it literally changes the underlying energetic basis so that you don't have to do it anymore. It's not even in your world to do it anymore.
Pock and pod it. Okay. Yeah. Point of creation, point of destruction. Right. Point of destruction, pock and pod. Right. And that, all right. That's a good thing to leave people with too. The lack of stop judging. And if you're having a hard time doing that or things come up unconsciously, just do the clearing statement.
Yep.
And then have somebody run your bars, your access bars.
Really good idea.
And
you can change your whole life with the bars. You know, it's like if you have your bars done, worst case scenario, you feel like you had a great massage. Best case scenario, your whole life changes.
All right. That sounds great. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you both.
Thanks. It's been fun.
It's been great. Thanks, Ellen.
Yes, very inspirational. I mean, for me and everyone listening. So this is, I've been talking to Dr. Dane here and Gary Douglas, who the founder of Access. And well, I just want to say you guys must be very happy that Access has gone worldwide like that. Or is there, or you don't, I mean, not that you don't care, but does it affect you one way or the other? Or
it's just an amazing gift to watch it work. It's like we've had, we do classes in multiple languages. Mm-hmm. And it's like to sit in a class and have three other languages being spoken simultaneously while we're doing clearings and stuff, and watching the people in all the cultures change as a result of it, when they don't understand what we're saying in English, is friggin' amazing. It lets you know that the ultimate language on planet Earth is energy.
And feeling.
If we all function from that, we'd probably go back to our place of having telepathic communication without the necessity of speech.
Yeah, it comes down to feeling, isn't it? Energy and
being aware
of
what you know, what the energy is telling us.
Well, thanks, Gary, for taking a chance on your own, you know, consciousness, you know, and giving. You know, you did take a chance.
I had to.
You had to, but. Yeah, I guess you could have, you couldn't chose to not do it, but you couldn't have because you didn't.
I couldn't have chosen not to do it. It's like there's no way in hell that I could have chosen not.
And right, because that's just who you are. What were you doing before Access came to you? Just curious.
I was doing real estate. I was doing, you know, landscaping. I was doing anything to make a buck.
And then what happened one day?
Oh, I don't know. It all went away, and I lost everything, and all the money I had was gone. And the only time anything worked is when I chose Access.
When you chose Access? I mean, when you chose what, though?
When I chose to do what created Access. Every time I chose that, my life got better.
And what was
and
that?
Every time I didn't, my life got worse.
And what was that thing that you chose?
Well, it's like I chose to look at what would create more consciousness in the world and what would create a greater possibility in the world. And, you know, it's like I tried making money and doing all kinds of different things, including selling real estate loans and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it all was supposed to work, and none of it did.
Hmm. And then you chose, like, you went into yourself and you chose a way of being that would expand consciousness in the world. Is that what you're saying?
Sort of, but not quite.
Oh, no. Well, how would you say it? I mean, I'm
well, the way I'd say it is I chose to do what I was, you know, what I knew I should do that I was trying to avoid.
And that was?
Anything that was going to create a greater world.
Uh-huh. So that this was your path then, and this is what unfolded before you, is this
yep.
choice. When and you knew you had to do it. So all right,
because
well,
literally nothing else I chose worked.
Right. Well, this seems to have worked, and it's worked for a lot of people.
And it's working for more and more all the time, and it's this great gift that I got that I had no right to get, because, man, I was not the goodest kid on the block. I did drugs, sex, and rock and roll until the cows came home.
And then, boom.
And then, along came channeling, and the next thing you know, here I am.
Yeah, you are still doing it all, so... Great. Well, let's do another conversation at some point, all of us, okay?
Sounds good.
That'd be great.
All right. So the main Access website is what for?
Accessconsciousness.com, and good luck spelling consciousness.
Okay. Well, yes, I think people can do that. And consciousness, yeah. Accessconsciousness.com, empowering people to know what they know is your... subtext there.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Thanks. Thank you both. Hopefully we will meet up somewhere on the planet, perhaps.
Be wonderful.
All right. Thanks.
Good. Thanks, Alan.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. This is New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. I've been talking to Dr. Dane Hare and Gary Douglas of Access Consciousness. A very interesting conversation, and one that I think I'll listen to again just for the key points that were brought out here. Of course, you can go to their website, accessconsciousness.com, and drdanehare.com, and I think garydouglas.com also has a website. And if you want to reach me, you can go to newrealities.com or email me at the letter A at newrealities.com. Thanks for listening. Good night.